Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and this week I'm joined by comedians and friends Jess Perkins and Dave Warnicki.
Yes, Dave and I are friends.
Hello, it's confirmed. We shake hands a lot.
First time listeners might be wondering what this show is and how does it work? Well, it's pretty simple, really.
Who are you and what are you doing in my house?
So I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. Okay.
Okay.
Are we ready to play?
Yes.
Super ready.
Question number one.
Okay.
What does Spanghue mean?
Spanghue.
What does Spanghue mean?
Spanghue. Okay.
What does Spanghue mean? This question comes from listener Millie Grieve Putland. And to help me understand how to say the name, Millie put in brackets, like sad mini golf, Grieve Putland, which was very helpful, actually. Thank you so much. And Millie is from Thornbury in Melbourne. While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. You get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, often with the help of the question writers, and I get a point for each of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. It seems pretty fair, but apparently the probability favors me, the house, and the house always wins. If you've listened to previous episodes, of course, you'll know this is not always the case. Now, anyway.
Thank goodness, because we are starting a revolution, aren't we, just against the house. We're it down to its knees.
Fuck you, house, we say.
Oh, my God.
And then we are setting fire to the house. We're looting it.
I've just made Dave and I matching T-shirts. It says, fuck you, house.
Oh. Yeah, I love wearing mine.
Out and about.
I love wearing the market.
Mine says, fuck you, house. And Dave says, no, fuck you. Assuming the house says fuck you.
Yeah, that's right. But people in the on the street
are we swearing on this?
People on the street get offended because they just see me wearing a shirt that says no fuck you.
Yeah, but I said put a jacket on.
Most people don't swear on this, but you two certainly do.
Gosh, I hope he has to beep them. That's the extra work for the house. Does the house edit this?
The house does edit
yeah,
this.
Yeah, great. Keep swearing, Jess.
So Dave's answer is in. I should say also, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes.
Sounds like Jess is like writing a tome over there.
What's a tome?
A long book.
I don't know what that is because I'm not a nerd.
Question two, what is a tome?
I've got mine in, so shut up, nerd.
Well done, nerd. Takes one to know one.
No, fuck you.
That's my shirt.
I can't believe this alliance is already falling apart.
No.
Yeah.
This happens a lot when rivals come together to take down an enemy.
We're incredibly weak.
Very vain people.
Very vain people.
But
mm-hmm.
Also incredibly good looking.
That is that too, yes.
So it's
God, we're hot.
Oh my God, what a great combo.
We're hot and we know it.
Exactly. We're not losing our looks, we're gaining our looks.
All right, all the answers are in. So here is question number one. What does Spanghue mean? Here are your options. The bait used on a mousetrap, a hybrid language combining words and idioms from both Spanish and Hebrew.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's good.
The result of the first voice-to-text transcription of a sneeze. To throw violently into the air, especially a frog from the end of a stick.
Spank you.
Or a tool attached to a horse's saddle, usually used to hold the reins in place when the rider needs their hands to be free, or if they disembark the horse.
Or...
disembarking a horse.
I know, you don't often get an or in the dictionary, do you?
Can we have those again?
So you've got the bait used on a mousetrap,
mm-hmm.
a hybrid language combining words and idioms from both Spanish and Hebrew.
It's an interesting combo.
The result of the first voice-to-text transcription of a sneeze.
That's pretty funny.
To throw violently into the air, especially a frog from the end of a stick.
As in like your, is it like a verb? Like are you...
Spanghewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
A frog on a stick. How you get, is the frog hanging on for dear life or have you stabbed the frog?
I don't think you've stabbed it. I think you're like, it's your favorite stick and you're just walking around with your favorite stick. You look down, there's a frog on it and you're like, ah!
Spang you.
And you give it a flick. You spang you.
You give it a spang you. Yeah, sure, sure.
Sounds no specific. Frogs are injured.
Sometimes, you know, English has come up with some pretty specific words. Or finally, a tool attached to a horse's saddle, usually used to hold the reins in place when the rider needs their hands to be free or if they disembark the horse. All right, Dave, what are you thinking?
Chuck us the spang you. Trying to use in a sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a spang you. Voice to text. Spang you. Spanish and Hebrew, very clever, but I'm not sure... I'm looking at that, the way it's spelled, S-P-A-N-G-H-E-W. Yeah. Where's the G coming from there?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spank you. Spanish, Hebrew.
Yeah, Spanglish.
Yeah.
The G's from the English, I guess.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. That's.
But maybe it evolved after that. It's an homage to Spanglish.
Mm, that is nice.
The horse one, that's quite long, but I can also
the
see.
Face.
Yeah, yeah. and I'm wondering why? Why is that like that? But I am also thinking... But, you know, that seems the most legit use of the word spang here. I can see that being a thing.
Yeah.
On a horse's saddle.
Yeah.
Unless you're in that world, you don't know what each particular piece is called.
And then what were the other ones? Mousetrap?
So you had mousetrap.
I don't think it's mousetrap.
Hybrid language.
No.
Sneeze, voice to text.
Fuck, I want it to be that
throwing
one.
Throwing violently into the air or the horse's saddle tool.
I'm going to go with the horse.
Horse for Dave.
JP.
I don't think it is. I'm going to go the sneeze one.
Sneeze one for Bop.
That's great wishful thinking because we all want it.
I think that's pretty funny. And it feels like one of those things you'd read like on a little fun fact or something.
I'm trying to think how I'd sneeze. Choof. I'm more of a chuff, I think.
I'm a real, chew.
Spank you.
Yeah. Spank you. Oh,
I'm a real spank hewer.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. The bait used on a mousetrap, that was Dave Warnicky.
That was me. That's spank
good.
You. Spank you. I imagine what a spank you make me think of it. It made me think of a mousetrap.
Yeah.
The combined language of Spanish and Hebrew, that was the house.
Ah, that's a good one.
It's really good.
Very believable.
It nearly had me until Dave dissected it a little bit.
That was, these ones were from Millie, the question writer.
Excellent work, Millie.
Really good.
She also wrote the result of the first voice-to-text transcription of a sneeze.
Well done. That is very funny.
We'll never trust you again, Millie, but well done.
The tool attached to the horse's saddle, that was Bop.
No way.
Meaning the correct answer is to throw violently into the air, especially a frog from the end of a stick.
What do you mean especially? What is that? Why is that needed?
Yeah.
I'll talk about it in a second, but yeah, it's a very specific word. Isn't it wild that happened enough that
there was a word for it?
That felt the least likely to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was because it was so specific, as in like particularly a frog. And you're like, what the
fuck?
You're
like, what?
That's good.
Quick score check. Dave, 0 points. Jess in the house on 1 point. All right, here we go to question number two. This one comes from Emmy White from the Lost Colony of Roanoke.
Oh, my goodness.
And the question is.
Great debut.
Dwayne Hansen broke what world record on his 60th birthday? Dwayne Hansen broke what world record on his 60th birthday? While you're writing your answers, here is some more information on the word spanghew. According to Concerning Writing, a blog, there is a paragraph in the 1846 book called A Glossary of North Country Words with their etymology and affinity to other languages and occasional notices of local customs and popular superstitions, Volume 2.
Every librarian hates that book.
Yeah.
Too long. What are you doing?
It was written by John Trotter Brockett and William Edward Brockett.
Okay.
In this book, there's a paragraph about how one goes about spanghewing. Apparently, a person would place a long wooden board on a stepping stone, place the frog or toad on one end of the board, and then with a club, strike the free end of the board, sending the creature flying through the air to its doom.
Sorry, I'm over here. That is to that, its doom, so you are expecting it to die.
Yeah, and it just seems like it was a for some point in time, it was a bit of a fad.
I can't believe, yes, Spang you. I'm going to try and use that in my everyday. If that comes up in your word of the day dictionary, you have to try and use that.
Yeah, Spang you.
All right, here is question number two. All right, so here's question number two. Dwayne Hansen broke what world record on his 60th birthday? Here are your five options. The oldest person to run 100 meters in under 12 seconds.
Ooh.
He smelled 80 cents in a minute. That's more than a cent per second.
He what?
Smelled 80 cents in a minute. That's more than 1 cent per second. Sitting on a photocopier printing nonstop copies of his ass for 24 hours straight. The longest journey by pumpkin boat or the longest fart underwater?
I think I could go for the record of sitting on a photocopier because, like, sure, your ass is occupied, but you could still be snacking, yeah, reading, playing video games.
And I guess you'd have to have a team filling the paper.
I'm also just realizing, how do you piss or shit?
Yeah, piss or shit. And yes. I mean, you could, but you would just get copies of it.
Everyone would.
Could you sit anywhere for 24 hours straight, let alone on a glass photocopy? That would not be comfortable.
No, you're right.
Look, I'm not saying that Dwayne can't do it. I'm just saying you can't do it.
It's so funny. The biggest issue I found was the filling the paper, but you're right. Those other things are...
Well, the scent one, I misunderstood the, you know, I thought of the wrong cent at
me
first.
Me too.
That you meant like dollars and cents. But
also like...
Oh, yeah, 80 cents.
How do you measure how many cents somebody smells?
Mm.
Like, unless they're yelling it out like, coffee beans.
Coffee beans.
Coffee beans, feet.
Oh, you have to say what it is, feet.
Because you can't do that.
Daffodils. Yeah. Microphone.
And 80 in a minute, that would be, I mean, just to say 80 words in a minute.
Can't say 80
tough.
Words in a minute.
What if they were all different types of poo and you said poo, 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 poo.
Is that what
shit,
Dwayne Hansen
poo.
Did?
Can we hear them all again, please?
Oldest person to run 100 meters in under 12 seconds.
That's 12 seconds is quick. That's quick.
Smelt 80 cents in a minute.
But also like an 80-year-old probably couldn't do it that fast. So I understand a 60-year-old might be the oldest to still be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But there are some pretty fit older people.
Yeah, but 12, sub 12?
Sub 12 is really, really quick. 80 cents in a minute.
Yeah, yep. That's more than 1 cent per second.
Yeah.
Sitting on a photocopier printing nonstop copies of his ass for 24 hours straight.
That's so many pages.
Longest journey by pumpkin boat or longest fart underwater? I wonder if that's longest in time or distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes you think.
What are you thinking, boss?
They're either from our, you know, our run-ins with Guinness Book of World Records. It's either something kind of bland or really specific and strange, which all of these fall into. Yeah. I don't think it's the sense one, mostly because I didn't understand it.
I didn't get, but maybe if you see that, if you saw that written down in the Guinness Book of Records, you probably understand it more, wouldn't
maybe,
you?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. And they'd probably have some follow-up information. And like the running 100 meters is
It's believable.
Believable, but again, a bit bland, but some of them are bland. And what was the pumpkin boat?
Longest journey by pumpkin boat.
Or longest fart underwater, or the photocopy one. I'm going to go pumpkin boat.
Pumpkin boat. Any thoughts here, Dave?
I'm also tempted by a pumpkin boat, I must admit. Between that, I want the photocopy to be real, and then I imagine that he sold them all to charity.
Framed.
Signed them all, signed and framed.
Put little smiley face
that's
on.
That's a Dwayne Hansen original. happy 60th birthday. I think pumpkin boat, that sounds like something that would be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah. Pumpkin boat?
Can't go wrong with a pumpkin boat. That was my gut feeling. The other ones, they never quite grabbed me.
Okay, let's go through.
Okay, a bit brutal. I wrote one of them.
Who wrote them down?
Did you write the pumpkin boat?
They were all very boring and dull.
Oldest person to run 100 metres in under 12 seconds. That was Jess Perkins.
Oh, okay. You really talked the logic up of that one. That's definitely believable because an 80-year-old can do that.
Well, you started to talk about it, so I thought, well, if I can help him
choose
it.
That's all part of the game, Dave. Don't game shame, please.
Yeah, that's part. I'm trash talking my opponent. Part of the game. You trying to game shame me? Well, I game shame the game show host.
Smelled 80 cents in a minute. That was the house.
Can the house explain themselves?
No, I mean, I try and have one that's stupid in each one.
Yeah, that's more than one sentence.
Normally these world record ones, I try to put one in that is basically nonsensical. And I just think, you know, if they can't crack the code here, that's on them.
Yeah.
Sitting on the photocopier printing nonstop copies of his ass. That was also the house.
I'd
love to know if that is a real record though, because that's awesome.
Longest fart underwater was Dave Warnicki.
Yeah,
meaning the correct answer was longest journey by pumpkin boat.
Yes, no points for the house. Boat. Well done, Jess.
1 point to both Jess and Dave.
Yes, take that house.
Meaning
you dumb shit.
The scores.
Hey, house.
Yes.
Fuck you.
No, I think that's fair enough. I think that's very.
Yes.
I think that's right on, man.
Are you a house or you're a shit house? Got him.
Got him.
So
sucked in, shit house.
Score update after two rounds. The house on 1 point. Dave on 1 point. But out in front on 2 points is Jess Perkins.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So
I'm interested to hear the details of Dwayne Hansen's pumpkin boat record. Yeah.
So we're up to question number 3. This one was written by Steve Kaiser. Rhymes with laser. Steve Kaiser from Sydney, Ohio. Ooh, God's country itself. And the question is, what was the nickname of early 1900s baseball and basketball legend Cumberland Posey Jr.?
Wow, and he's a baseball and basketball legend. That's great.
Yeah.
Cumberland Posey Jr.
Yeah, I think especially known for his baseball, but was also a very, very good basketball, played professional basketball as well. All right.
My answer is in.
Fantastic. Now, while you're writing your answers, I'll let audiences know a little bit more about this pumpkin record. Reporting for newsforjax.com, reporter Carrie-Anne Luter wrote, "A man in Nebraska just broke a Guinness World Record by rowing himself down the Missouri River in a hollowed-out pumpkin. It's huge. Like, the photos of it are fantastic."
Wow.
Dwayne Hansen paddled 38 miles in his pumpkin on Saturday to celebrate his 60th birthday. CNN
How reported. Far?
38 miles.
That's too far.
It's too far on a pumpkin.
Oh, my God. I thought it was going to be like 100 metres. Because surely it would only have to be 100 metres to beat the record.
Yeah. Well, now you have to paddle 39 miles, I guess.
I couldn't do that in a regular boat with an engine.
He set out from the city of Bellevue at 7:30 a.m. and arrived in Nebraska City about 11 hours later. The makeshift vessel had the name SS Berta written on the back and a cup holder carved into the hull. The previous Guinness World Record for the longest journey by pumpkin boat was set in 2018 when a man paddled 25 and a half miles. So he smashed the record.
Wow.
Okay, so it was a legit record.
Yeah. Berta, the pumpkin, weighed 846 pounds.
Okay, I'm looking at an image of it now. It's big, but like it doesn't look comfortable to be in.
No, not at all. That's a big ass pumpkin.
That is truly incredible. 11 hours.
All right. Your answers are in. So question number 3. What was the nickname of early 1900s baseball and basketball legend Cumberland Posey Jr.? You have 5 options. They are Flower Power.
Early 1900s?
Come. The Human Wardrobe. Kiwi Poju. Or Come Lord Jr.
Once, can I have those again, please?
Flower Power.
Yep.
Come.
Because Posey.
Come, because his name's Cumberland. How is come spelled?
C-U-M.
And back in the day, that probably didn't mean come.
It just meant Cumberland.
It's just a short.
If you said come back then, it meant this guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Human Wardrobe.
Is coming named after this guy?
Possibly. Kiwi Poju or Come Lord Jr. So you got some fantastic options there. Jess, what are you thinking?
Kind of thinking come or the Human Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go the Human Wardrobe.
Human Wardrobe for Bop. Fantastic selection.
I'm looking at the name written down. Cumberland Posey Jr. Kiwi Poju.
Kiwi Poju, yeah.
Kiwi Poju. The other options are come.
Come Lord Jr. The Human Wardrobe or Flower Power.
Flower Power.
Obviously all fantastic options.
I love them all. I'm thinking Flower Power.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Flower because of the Posey.
I'm now thinking Human Wardrobe could be the one that Dave wrote, but we'll soon find out.
You could have written Flower Power too. Though you did get yours in so quick. I'm like, come. That's only 3 letters.
How do you?
So you're happy with your answers?
Yep.
Locked in?
Yep, locked in, locked and loaded.
Come in.
Much like Cumberland Percy Jr.
Okay. Cumlord Jr. That was Jess Perkins.
Oh, you type quick.
Cumlord. That's funny.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Kui Poju. That was the house.
The house.
It's good though. Kui Poju.
Flower Power, also the house.
Ooh. Boo. Oh, my God.
The Human Wardrobe was Dave Warnocky.
I knew it.
Meaning the real name was Cum. So that means, I believe, 1 point for the house and 1 point for Dave Warnocky.
Well done, Dave. You got me.
Which means after three rounds, the scores are tied at 2 apiece.
Ooh.
Wow.
Three-way tie. I love that. This is a hot game.
Cum. Sorry. Just let it have a go.
All right. Now it is time for question number 4. This one comes from David Loring. Sorry, David Loring. He's written in. Everyone's helped me out with the name today. Rhymes with boring, which is excellent for cruel childhood taunts.
Oh, no.
David Loring is from Hobart, Tasmania, and asks the following question. What were the last words uttered by murderer Thomas J. Grasso before his execution?
Oh, my God.
What were the last words uttered by Thomas J. Grasso before his execution? And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information about Cum, the basketballer/baseballer. According to Penn State's Black History website, Cumberland Cum Posey Jr. enrolled at Penn State in 1909. He played on the freshman basketball team from 1909 to 1910, the varsity basketball team, 1910 to 1911, and the freshman baseball team in 1910. He left Penn State after just 2 years and joined the Monticello Athletic Association, which later became the Loendi Big Five. By the following year, Posey was the star player and operator, which included managing, booking, and promoting of the club. Loendi won the Colored Basketball World Championship 4 years in a row from 1920 to 1923. Posey went on to become one of the great entrepreneurs of professional sports. He played for and then owned the Pittsburgh-based Homestead Grays. Posey was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2006.
Good on you, Cum.
Absolute dominator by the sounds of it.
Yeah, wow.
On you, Cum.
Here is question number 4. What were the last words uttered by murderer Thomas J. Grasso before his execution? Wait, wait, wait. I think I left the iron on. I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this. I'll be back and you'll be sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's spooky.
No, fuck you.
That's great.
Or got any aspirin? I've got a killer headache.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah, you've really got to get into the mind of a murderer now.
Okay, all right, done.
that was very quick. That was
concerningly quick.
Can we hear them one more time, please?
Wait, wait, wait. I think I left the iron on. I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this. I'll be back and you'll be sorry.
That's creepy.
No, fuck you.
But that's
good. That's good stuff.
That's good.
Got any aspirin? I've got a killer headache.
Oof. You go first this time, Dave.
Okay. It's tricky.
It is.
I panicked for half a second there, Jess, when you said you go first. I'm like, oh, which one?
Oh, boy. Oh,
I don't want to go first.
The house goes first.
Right. Oh, I've got the answers in front of me, thank God.
Wait, wait, wait. I've left the iron on.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, but would a murderer do a good bit like that?
Well, is it a good bit?
But like, you know, but a bit, you know, like would you use your last words to be like, all right, but I'll have a bit of fun here?
Yeah.
Or the one after that is the SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
I can see.
I want the press to know.
I want the press to know. That makes it feel real. Then... what's number 3, Matt?
I'll be back and you'll be sorry.
That's good.
It's quite menacing.
But I also feel like, would it be remarkable enough to put on this show, you know? I feel like a lot of people probably throw out a thread as they're going up there. Do we know how he was executed?
Mate, they're going down there.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's okay. No, fuck you. The ultimate response. You can't, they can't, they've got nothing back. Whatever they say.
What can you say?
I repeat, no, fuck you.
Mm. There's no rebuttal to that.
And then him going for a joke. Again, I feel like I want him to go for a joke. First one or the fifth one.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking too.
But then SpaghettiOs is funny, but not you're not laughing with him, are
but
you?
But also it's like the the pettiness of it kind of suits a murderer, you know?
Yeah.
Of like, not he's not even worried that he's about to die. He's just like, I want the press to know that I was wronged.
I want a SpaghettiOs, but I got spaghetti.
Yeah.
Mm.
I want the press to know.
I like that one. I'm going to go with spaghetti.
Good choice.
SpaghettiO for Dave.
Because it's you?
Yeah. I'd change your answer if I were you.
Hang on. Can I? No. She's trying to get a no fuck you.
I would change it to no fuck you. That one to me sounds the most compelling. Yeah.
Jess, what do you think?
Just because that just happens to also be one of your catchphrases.
Not mine. It's one of Dave's catchphrases.
That's one of Dave's.
Are you seeing it on the t-shirt I'm wearing right now?
Oh, that's right.
Just read that out for me.
Sorry, that's
no
right.
No fuck you. That's right.
That is one of Dave's. I get you too confused.
I know. We're the same.
What are you thinking, Bob?
I think I'm going to go you're right, Dave. It's like one or five. I'm going to go for I've left the iron on.
I want it to be that one, but.
Wait, I've left the iron on?
Yeah, it feels like.
Especially if they're like, you know, they're pulling the noose or something like that. Yeah. If you're saying that, you're probably not getting a laugh out loud, but people are saying, huh, you thought about that.
All right.
Imagine bombing just before you die. That would suck, actually. It's a real risk.
That feels right. He's a murderer. All right, so.
He was a bummer.
So here is who wrote the answers. Got any aspirin? I've got a killer headache. That was Dave Warnicky.
Oh,
that is me.
You tried to trick me. Son of a bitch.
Well, you did roll your eyes when that one was read out, and I did feel a bit offended. And I'm like, that's pretty good stuff.
I thought it was a lame joke.
That's pretty good stuff. That's pretty good.
I was like, he thought about that in his cell and thought this will be so funny.
Yeah,
what
but it feels
a fucking
like.
Loser.
It's also something that I've just realized, and I didn't think this until now. John McClane in Die Hard 2 says it when he looks like he's about to get blown up, and he asks the enemy who's leaving him, like, hey, I've had a fucking killer headache all day. You got any aspirin? And Jeremy Irons, the bad guy, goes, yeah, like you're about to be blown up, whatever, and throws him some aspirin, and that becomes a key plot line. And I've only realized I've just lifted a Die Hard joke, which Jess didn't even like.
No, fuck you. That was Jess Perkins.
Can you believe?
What?
I know.
You used one of my catchphrases?
Yeah.
I'll be back and you'll be sorry. That was The House.
That's spooky.
Yeah, The House is pretty threatening, so I can imagine that.
Wait. I think I left the iron on also The House.
No.
The correct answer was I did not get my spaghetti.
No!
I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this.
Wow.
Thomas J. Grasso.
Grasso is a pretty funny name too.
Have you ever had SpaghettiOs?
I don't think I have.
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I imagine it's like tin spaghetti though, which I've had.
Yeah, it's sort of like tomato soup with like really soft spaghetti.
Yeah.
Slightly rubbery
spaghetti. Good in a toasty, let me tell you that much.
That does sound good in a toasty.
Fuck, enough.
Made
so
for
good.
A toasty, really,
delish.
Isn't it? I mean,
a jaffle.
Right?
Yeah. A jaffle.
Oh, yeah.
So it contains it all in there. Makes them piping hot.
I was at a gig on Monday night where there was a New Zealand comedian who'd never heard the phrase jaffle before.
Yeah,
and we
right.
all agreed that sounded like the most New Zealand thing ever.
Totally. I mean, they call thongs jandals.
Yes. Yes. Maybe that's what I was getting. We were all thinking, surely you invented the jaffle.
Yeah.
He had no idea.
All right. That means we are up to question number 5. Quick score update, of course, has Jess on 2 and Dave and The House both on 3 points.
That feels pretty sexist to me. To leave the woman behind. I think The House and Dave are being real misogynes over here.
Oh, no.
Don't lump me in with that misogynist over there.
So this question comes
Let
from...
Let women win.
There's still 3 questions to go.
Okay.
This one comes from Sasha Eisenstadt of Belfast. And the question is, the Swedish have a very interesting tradition when it comes to raising their kids. What is it? The Swedish have a very interesting tradition when it comes to raising their kids. What is it? And while you're writing your answers, here's a little bit more information on Thomas J. Grasso. It's always a good sign.
No, I don't know if it is that time. That could be wrong. So
Thomas J. Grasso was a murderer. He murdered 2 people in 2 different states. And in 1995, he was executed in Oklahoma by lethal injection. This is from a website called lastmeals.fandom, which is pretty wild that it exists. His last meal request was 2 dozen steamed mussels, 2 dozen steamed clams with a lemon wedge, a double cheeseburger from Burger King, 6 barbecued spare ribs, 2 strawberry milkshakes, 6 pumpkin pie with whipped cream and diced strawberries, and a can of SpaghettiOs and meatballs served at room temperature. Grasso asked for SpaghettiOs, but instead of SpaghettiOs, he got spaghetti and meatballs. And his last words were, "I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this." He died an unhappy man.
Any ideas what you'd have in your final meal, Matt?
If I'd just killed someone.
No, just if...
if you just knew you were about to...
Yeah, yeah.
Die? That's a tricky one. I think Viennetta ice cream would be involved.
Yeah. An entire one. That's it. That is a sick order. They're like, oh, anything else? Nah. That? I don't even need a spoon.
Yeah, maybe.
Eat on my hands.
Probably some sort of pasta meal. Sauce with mushrooms and olives.
I mean, that's something you make quite regularly.
Yeah.
Would you want it to just be something you make all the time, or would you want it to be something a bit special?
I don't know. You know, I like to think that I'm living my life.
Well, you're not. You're about to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm eating now as if, you know, what I want to eat every day.
You know what I would do is I would, if I had a food allergy, I'd just ask for that thing.
All right, so you die with diarrhea. Clean this up, Bill.
Is Bill the helper? Yeah.
Bill's like the executor.
Old Bill.
Executioner.
Well, she died doing what she loved.
Shitting everywhere.
Pooping her guts out.
Yeah.
That's our girl.
Time into a chair. You'll have to get the high pressure hose for this one, Bill.
What is it something about you two when you come together? It's always pooping stuff.
As if this show doesn't always just divulge into poop.
Divulge?
Devolve. I said the wrong word. Anyway, shit, poop and shit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, question number 5. Is the Swedish have a very interesting tradition when it comes to raising their kids. What is it? Teaching them to ride a bike when they are 1 month old.
Oh, they do love a bike in Scandinavia. They love that.
Shoes aren't worn until children's 5th birthday when they receive a golden pair. A little bit of snow is mixed into children's food during the winter. For nap times, the babies are placed in their prams outside, even in winter. And they are not allowed to legally drink alcohol until they have tamed their first reindeer.
They're not legally allowed to drink alcohol until they've tamed their first reindeer. Well, I'm going to lock that one up.
That one sounds good.
Yeah, they all sound fantastic. None of these seem realistic, though.
I was going to write one about shoes, or maybe did I?
I wonder if they're golden, like literally made out of gold or just gold in colour.
And the snow one, was that half? I felt like there was, that one went straight into another one. I can't tell if they were different.
No, they were, yeah, well, there were five.
Just a little bit of food, snow is mixed into their food.
Yeah. I'll give you them again.
Hydration.
Option one, teaching them to ride a bike when they are 1 month old.
Yep.
Number two, shoes aren't worn until a child's 5th birthday when they receive a golden pair. Number three, a little bit of snow is mixed into children's food during the winter. Number four, for nap times, the babies are placed in their prams outside even in winter. Or number five, they are not allowed to legally drink alcohol until they have tamed their first reindeer.
Well, obviously, reindeer are from that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I'm ruling that one in.
Mm-hmm. Taming them?
The snow one, but they're not having snow all the year round. Something like, is it just a little bit of snow every, you know, during winter? Why? Does that make you more resistant to the snow? But I suppose that's why it could be an interesting tradition. Golden pair?
Golden pair, yeah, of shoes.
And the other, what was the fourth and fifth?
For nap times, the babies are placing their prams outside. And the last one is the reindeer one. And the first one's the bike one.
Oh, the bike one, that's right. Well,
at 1 month, they can't even hold their head up.
Yes, that is, but maybe, is it that they... What's the phrasing of it? Do they ride a bike at 1 month?
Teaching them to ride a bike when they are 1 month old.
Man, because I went to neighbouring Denmark a few months ago and we had like a walking tour guide and he said that he owned 4 bikes.
Right.
One was like a winter bike, one was a mountain bike, and then he had two backup bikes. Like they're everywhere. And I'm thinking, like, you know, and he said that they're a massive part of their culture. But then there's the pram one. I was watching a show set in Denmark not that long ago, and there was a scene where a kid was outside in a pram and it was left alone, and I thought that was weird. I don't know if it was winter, but that's coming to mind, that scene. So I'm going to say pram.
Pram for Dave.
I'm also saying pram.
Two prams.
What's your reasoning for pram?
Saw it on TikTok.
Ah.
Ah, yes. Okay, yeah.
An American or an English person living in either Denmark or Sweden. I thought Sweden. And they commented on that.
Even at the time. So the show's Borgen and then.
Oh, yeah.
Good show, you seen that?
The show's Borgen.
Borgen. And one of them, this couple have a kid. She says to her, oh, where's Gustav? And he said, oh, he's just outside sleeping. And I was like, sorry, what?
Yeah. Mm. All right, let's go through the answers. They're not legally allowed to drink alcohol till they've tamed the first reindeer. That was Jess Perkins.
Wow, you're really good at hiding your flavour.
I find my own humour delightful. Sue me.
Teaching them to ride a bike when they are 1 month old. That was the house. Shoes aren't worn until a child's fifth birthday when they receive a golden pair. That was David at Dave Vornicky.
Literally, I was going to write something about they're not allowed to wear shoes until. No. Yes, genuinely. No,
get out of my head.
And then I changed to reindeer.
Yeah, nice. I was also going to write that, actually. I was thinking they can't drink alcohol until they tame a reindeer.
Okay.
That's why.
Now you're just being patronizing. I genuinely was going to write something about shoes.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
You were going to write, you have to tame a reindeer in order to drink alcohol. I'm trying to have a bit of fun. Somebody's got to be having some fun.
Thank you, Jess.
The show's boring.
Thanks for bringing
fun. If we're all just sitting here going, I think it'd be this. Somebody needs to be being a bit of a dickhead. And I'm taking a bullet for the team.
Yep. And also complaining that women aren't winning. So interesting.
I'm not complaining that women aren't winning. I'm complaining that women aren't being let win.
Yeah,
there is a difference.
The way it should be, yes.
A little bit of snow is mixed into children's food during the winter. That was the house, meaning the correct answer, as you both seem to know, was for nap times. The babies are placed in their prams even in the winter.
Just left outside.
What is going on? But I also love that they trust their society so
totally.
Much that they just leave them out there.
Nobody's going to take your kid.
So that means the scores after five rounds, two rounds to go, Jess on 3 points. House on 3 points, but out in front on 4 points is Dave Warnicky.
Yeah, we found the misogynist, haven't we?
Oh, now I can't win.
Correct.
I cannot win now.
Correct.
The way you want it.
That's right.
A man not winning.
Correct. Sometimes in order to, you know, correct a problem, you got to overcorrect for a bit. So you got to let me win.
Okay.
Be a gentleman. Let me win.
It's a great point.
Pander to me.
You're right.
All right, that means we're up to question number six. Second last question. This one comes from Kerry John Jones from Wales. And Kerry's question is, what controversy did the mascots get up to during the Swansea City versus Millwall football match on Feb the 11th, 2001? So the Millwall's mascot is Zampa the Lion and Swansea City's mascot is Cyril the Swan. Cyril the Swan and Zampa the Lion.
Jess's answer is already in.
Mm-hmm.
While you're writing your answers, Dave, here's a BBC article from 2013 talking about the Swedish pram tradition. Daytime temperatures in winter in Stockholm have regularly dropped to -5 degrees Celsius, but it's still common to see children left outside by their parents for a sleep in the pram. I think it's good for them to be in the fresh air as soon as possible, says Lisa Marden, a mother of three from Stockholm. Especially in winter, when there's lots of diseases going around, the kids seem healthier. Her children have been sleeping outside since they were born. The youngest, Alfred, is 2, and she puts him outside in the pram to nap once a day. This isn't a recent fashion. Lisa's mother, Gunilla, now 61, says she also did it when Lisa was just a baby. Yes, we were doing it back then as well. It was important for her to get fresh air and stay healthy. And Lisa's father, Peter, was put outside by his mother to sleep in a pram in the 1950s. Only when it got to around -10 degrees did she bring him indoors. The theory behind outdoor napping is that children exposed to fresh air, whether in summer or the depths of winter, are less likely to catch coughs and colds. Many parents also believe their children sleep better and for longer in the open. I think it's funny because obviously it's fine and it works.
Yeah.
But I'd be scared shitless of doing that. I mean, just sleeping outside myself for 2 hours in the freezing.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd wake up again.
No, not a man of your age. But babies are resilient.
That's true.
People your age, are, I don't know, a draft could kill you.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because you're old, Matt.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Dave, are you done? That Matt was reading that for 4 hours.
I wrote more than I thought I needed, right?
Yeah, smart.
I thought Dave was still going. All right.
No, sorry. I put mine in about 15 minutes ago.
And then what were you doing? Just answering emails or something, were you?
Yes.
All right. Here is question number 6. What controversy did the Swansea City mascot, Cyril the Swan, and Millwall mascot, Zampa the Lion, get up to during their team's match on February the 11th, 2001?
Please read mine properly.
Okay. I'll read them all properly.
Read mine with the intended tone.
Okay.
You'll know.
So option 1, they got so drunk together before the game that they were passed out on the sidelines by halftime. Option 2, the two mascots agreed to a choreographed fight, but Zampa the Lion accidentally knocked out Cyril, who was carried off in two stretchers tied together. They were caught shagging in costume by the broadcaster's cameras. A Millwall fan secretly got in the Zampa the Lion costume with the intention of fighting Cyril. When Cyril realised what was happening, he punched the lion's head off and drop-kicked it into the crowd. Or they fucked.
It came out. We all thought they were going to fuck.
Yeah, what? Two of the five options are they fucked. Yeah.
They're just written differently. Some better than others.
Mm. Some with a little more, I don't know. How do you say? Je ne sais quoi.
So they got drunk. They did a choreographed fight, but one got knocked out, shagged, and got caught on camera. What was the fourth one?
There was an imposter lion who came out, and when the swan realised, he knocked the head off and kicked it into the crowd.
That's pretty good.
Or they fucked.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of them getting injured, would that be controversy?
Interesting.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it might be noteworthy. I don't know if it'd be controversy. Would people have, you know, strong opinions on it?
Yeah, if a choreographed fight went wrong,
yeah,
maybe.
Because I do like that one. Or the shagging one, obviously. That would be really fun.
What about the first?
Well, that's obviously art right there.
Dave, what do you want to talk us through the board?
I'll talk us through the board. So two are fucking, two are fighting.
Mm.
One's getting drunk.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do I go with that one or is it so, it's like, that can't be it.
Right.
It's got to be a fucking or a drinking.
Mm. Or a fighting.
Or a fighting. Well, because what are the chances of them both drinking till they pass out?
Yeah. You know?
I feel like one might pass out and they're both wasted.
I think I'm going to go for the fight and one getting knocked out.
And it's Swansea.
The two stretchers.
Yeah.
Where's Millwall?
Millwall's in London town, I think.
Okay. So it's not.
I think Swansea's in Wales.
That's Welsh, yeah. I don't know.
just pick one.
Like
if you're really not sure, then they're all equally confusing.
Okay.
I mean, you can rule one out, can't
Hopefully.
You?
Hopefully.
Yeah, my own one.
That's right. And you can rule out another one maybe.
Right, because it's not fucking or fighting.
That's right.
So I'll rule out drinking. Three left, two fight, one fucking. We all want these, the lion and the swan to get together.
Oh, 100%. I want it to be that they're shagging.
I want to believe so badly they shagged. Please, please tell me, Matt, that in 2001, the camera found them boning.
Okay.
Tell me, please.
All right.
If you have to, lie.
Please, Matt, lie to us.
Here's who wrote the answers. They got so drunk together before the game, they passed out on the sidelines by halftime. That was the house.
Oh, okay, yes. So it was either a fucking or a fighting.
Yes, that's right. But I did read that it is tradition that the mascots do drink before the game. That's what inspired that.
It's tradition.
One. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the guy who plays Cyril said in an interview. The two mascots agreed to a choreographed fight. This one you selected, Bopper.
Yep.
But Zelda was accidentally knocked out. Dave wrote that one.
Well
so one
done,
point
Dave.
For Dave.
Thank you
the
so much.
The two stretches tied together is really funny.
Because this one costume's so big.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
They fuck. That was Jess.
Oh.
Did I say that one right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Nice.
Good job.
You don't want your art to be butchered.
That's right. It's like last time we did something, I said my ex-wife and he did it all wrong.
Oh,
and
I was like, come on. We do like, you know, rehearsal for a reason.
Yeah.
They were caught shagging costume by the broadcaster's cameras. That was the house.
No, come on. Sometimes you just want to believe.
I know.
Meaning the correct answer was a Millwall fan secretly got in the Zampa the Lion costume with the intention of fighting Cyril the Swan. When Cyril realised what was happening after Zampa took a few swings at him, he punched the lion's head off and kicked it into the crowd.
Nice.
That is good. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed it wasn't John Jones. They were fucking, but...
You're all disappointed about that, but what can we do?
Yeah. I just want more people to make love.
Yeah, I just want a swan and a lion to mix with love.
It's obviously too much to ask.
All right, that means we're up to the final question. Can you believe this?
Wow. What are the scores? Is it close?
Okay, quick score update. Jess on 3.
Mm-hmm.
House on 4. But out in front on 5 points, it's Dave Warnocky.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, okay, if that's what we're thinking, fine.
It's okay, pig.
All right, so question number 7. We always like to finish with a film synopsis question, and this week is no different. And the question is, what is the synopsis of the 1988 movie Hell Comes to Frogtown? What is the synopsis of the 1988 movie Hell Comes to Frogtown? While you're writing your answers... Here is some more information on the mascot Stoush from Medium.com. On February 11th, 2001, Millwall fans considered the Swan a public enemy after previous run-ins. Eddie Don, the man behind the costume, the Swan costume, had been told by the club management to avoid the Millwall fans. Outside, 300 police officers mounted the biggest anti-hooligan operation in Swansea's history, seizing weapons that included a steel axe and an item described in the newspaper as a Chinese martial arts rice flail. A stadium officer warned Cyril, keep a low profile and nothing goes wrong. But keeping a low profile is exceedingly difficult for a 9-foot swan. At halftime, when Don was to take spot kicks against the Millwall mascot, Zampa the Lion was nowhere to be seen. Then the sea of South Londoners parted. It's the Millwall fans, I guess. An Audi marched straight from the stands. This was usual. Don typically met the rival mascot before each match. We have a chat, have a beer and a half. That's what mascots do, he said. They'd put someone in the costume to fill me in, though, to beat me up. Then Don heard a Millwall hooligan shout, rip his head off, Zampa! As Cyril stomped onto the field from his position in front of the Swansea fans, a hush fell. Swan and Lion were now standing beak to snout in the centre circle. Zampa was 6 feet tall and heavy set, his face permanently frozen in a shit-eating grin. What's going on then? Don shouted at his colleague. But the man inside Zampa gave no reply. Instead, he threw a jab at Cyril. Here we go then, thought Don. I'm looking up in the stadium control room and I'm saying to myself, Eddie, behave. I'm the groundsman. It's my life. So I guess he's a groundsman 9 to 5 and then on weekends he's the Swan. But Zampa kept swinging. Then he reached to pull off Cyril's head, a serious no-no.
That's when it went too far.
Don's response was swift. I gave him an uppercut, he says. The crowd roared, thousands of people cheering on as this rumble in a cartoonish jungle took off. His head came off in my hands, Don recalled. So Cyril clomped off the field and drop-kicked it into the Millwall stand. The headless lion limped away. Don't fuck with the Swans, Don shouted after him.
Wow.
Police officers dashed onto the field. I just ran straight down the pitch, down the tunnel, Don says. Two officers were right behind him. Cyril skidded around the corner and slipped into a dressing room. The policeman hammered on the door, shouting, where's that bird? Where's the mascot? We need him out of here. Don shimmied out of the costume and calmly walked out another door. The police found the Cyril costume in a pile on the floor. He got away for now, but not for long, and ended up with £1,000 fine.
Wow. Well, that for £1,000. Worth it.
Worth every penny.
Pound.
Yeah, it feels very sort of pantomimey.
Yeah.
Knocking off, like the big no-no is taking the head off.
Yeah. So he knocks the head off.
He's behind you.
All right. It looks like the answers are in. Holy moly. Here we go. So the final question, number 7. What is the synopsis of the 1988 movie Hell Comes to Frogtown? Which has got to be one of the great movie but titles I've ever heard.
Incredible.
Here are your options. While traveling to a movie premiere, a group of young actors break down in a deserted city and find themselves at the mercy of some flesh-eating frogs. Option 2. A 16-year-old boy is accidentally shrunk down to the size of a frog. He must defeat the king of the frogs if he is able to claim the Newton key that will unlock the hell laser that will unshrink him before it's too late.
Wow.
And did I mention he's running late for prom?
Oh, my God. There's so much happening in that one.
An evil doctor creates a serum that turns people into frogs. He uses it on a college student who is dating his daughter. But the plan goes awry when his daughter's attraction only grows the froggier the boy gets.
She's a frog fucker.
After nuclear war, women now rule the world. Hell is the name of one of their prisoners who must try and stop their mutant frog-like leader. Problem is, Hell has a bomb attached to his genitals. Or Joseph Hell, a dentist, moves to Frogtown, a small, close-knit town with a mysterious secret. Okay.
Joseph Hell.
Joseph Hell.
What's he do?
He's a dentist.
Okay. I mean, that one almost could have gone under the radar, Jess.
What could have?
You hadn't laughed at the wrong time there.
I laughed at a dentist. Thought that was funny.
That's a beautiful little detail.
Joseph Hell, a dentist.
A dentist. Welcome to Hell's Dentistry.
That's pretty good, Dr.
Joseph speaking.
I mean, going to the dentist is hell for me.
So you had the actors who found themselves in a battle with flesh-eating frogs.
Yep.
A 16-year-old boy who was shrunk down to the size of a frog. You had a doctor who created a serum and his daughter fell in love with the frogman. You had a post-nuclear world where women rule the world. And Hell is one of the prisoners with a bomb, or Joseph Hell moving to Frogtown, a small town with a mysterious secret.
But what does he do?
He's a dentist. You can't see his face the whole movie.
Yeah. I'm going to say the women ruling the world one.
Women rule the world for Bob. Locked in. And what about you, David?
What was the one before that? Number 3?
The one where the daughter...
Oh,
gets
yeah.
attracted to the frog.
God, I love that.
That is good.
I really want... I reckon that one or the first one. It's either like a pretty basic one, like, yeah, teens have to battle frogs, or this woman falls in love with the frog boy.
Yep. Which way you want to go?
Lock in frog boy.
Frog boy.
Come on, frog boy.
Come on, frog boy.
Come on, frog boy.
Frog boy 2, Kings of Mykonos.
It all comes down to this, and the scores are close. Ooh. Everyone's within 2 points of
so all I need is to get it right and to have Dave choose mine.
Yes.
Easy.
Oh, okay. This one did make me laugh a lot, so it could be just...
All right. Let's go through who wrote the answers. While traveling to a movie premiere, a group of young actors break down in a deserted city and find themselves at the mercy of some flesh-eating frogs. That was The House.
The House.
Yeah, I could see that being like an 80s horror movie. Yeah. Though. Well done.
A 16-year-old boy is accidentally shrunk down to the size of a frog. He must defeat the king of the frogs if he is able to claim the Newton key that will unlock the hell laser that will unshrink him before it's too late. Did I mention he's running late for prom? That was Dave Warnocky.
That's right. I just kept typing until this box filled up.
Joseph Hell, a dentist, moves to Frogtown, a small close-knit town with a mysterious secret. That was Jess Bob Perkins.
Really?
A dentist.
You thought that was so funny.
I don't know why I found a dentist funny, but I did.
That means one of you is correct.
Is it me?
Is it me?
But Matt, is it me?
Let's find
Who
out.
Who is it?
Say me if one of us
Which
is
Which one
correct.
Of us is right?
An evil doctor creates a serum that turns people into frogs and then the daughter gets attracted to the frog boy. That was The House.
Oh,
meaning
well.
Jess is correct. After a nuclear
yes!
war, women now rule the world. Hell is the name of one of their prisoners who must try and stop their mutant frog-like leader. Problem is, Hell has a bomb attached to his genitals.
Yes, I did it.
Well, well done.
I got one right.
I would rather watch The House's movie, though, and I don't usually give The House praise, but I would like to see a woman falling in love with Frog Boy.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Frog fucker.
Frog fucker. Oh, no, my daughter's a frog fucker.
I should,
no.
Did I say that? That question came from Cheryl Dean from Huntington in the UK.
Well done, Cheryl Dean.
Good and stuff, Cheryl. That one that you went with, Dave, that was a combination writing effort between me and Cheryl Dean.
Oh, so you're getting a co-credit on that one?
Yeah. Hers was more believable. I added that the attraction only grew. All right. So final score check. On 4 points, Jess Perkins. On 5 points, Dave Warnicki. Also on 5 points, The House. It's a tie.
Well done, everyone. Wow. No losers.
Well, feels like there is a loser.
Who?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No losers here. Do you want to know how Hell Comes to Frogtown scored on Rotten Tomatoes? Any guesses? What the percentage might be on the spotometer there?
100?
Oh, I don't
know. 95.
It's a little lower.
92.
But it's not that much lower.
89.
74.
Excuse me. 89.
It's a little lower.
85.
Still lower.
81?
Lower again.
74.
Keep going. Okay.
62.
A little more, please.
A little more?
A little less.
56.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
I got it, Dave.
How do you do that?
I'll edit out some of that and you will look like a genius.
Hey, I'll give it to you clean, so you're just good. I'm gonna guess 56%.
Yeah, that's right.
Hell yeah.
And 47% from audiences. I'll give you a short excerpt from a positive review and one from a negative review. Ed Travis writes, Hell Comes to Frogtown will win you over with its charm, its knowing sense of humor, and its genre roots, and most of all, its secret weapon, the eternally lovable rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, the wrestler.
Yeah. So that was a positive one. This one comes from Jonathan R. Perry, who writes, if you rent a film with this title, you deserve whatever you get. Utter crapola.
Oh, wow.
Probably crapola.
Well, and it also stars Rory Calhoun.
Oh.
See that?
Who Mr. Burns references. Yeah. Oh. A young Rory
like
Calhoun.
Rory Calhoun.
That's so funny. I never know what that means, but well, I still love it.
He's an actor, apparently. Very funny stuff.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Jess, where can people find you?
They can find me at Jess Perkins on Instagram. Just ticked over 14,000 followers. Grateful for every single one of them, except one.
Oh.
And they know who they are. And you can find me on the Do Go On podcast, where myself and two acquaintances tell little stories and have a bit of fun. Neither of you are looking at me. Okay, I do still exist. That made me anxious.
You're still here.
Thank you.
I just realised we had two frog-related questions this week.
Do we?
Dave, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram, unfollowing Jess Perkins to knock her down to size 13,999.
No, you leaving will hurt me in no way.
Well, I'm going
to... You're the one
I'm going to drop you below 14K.
You can't do that. Like I'm not just on 14.
How many are you on?
I'll have a look for you.
Give me the exact number.
I'm going to.
I'll get in the group chat. I'll get how many people we need.
Matt, okay.
Are you willing to unfollow Jess?
I don't like her stuff.
Okay.
So it's 14,028, Dave. You're going to need to recruit some friends.
29. All right. Well, as you know, I don't have any, so that will be difficult. All right. Fine. I'll stay following you out of spite.
Thank you.
Keep your enemies close.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, Dave and Jess. I really have appreciated your time here today. So much fun. Remember when Jess made one of those characters a dentist? I'll be thinking about that tonight.
Joseph Hell, a dentist.
If you like the show, please tell your friends. Maybe give it a 5-star review. That would be nice if you want to. No pressure. Let people know who might enjoy it. And thanks for joining us. Until next time, goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.